tonight, Free to Play 42. I don't have a name for this podcast yet.
You know, that's a weird coincidence because we also don't have a name for Kate Middleton's baby.
Yes, this is the official podcast about Kate Middleton's baby, the royal baby. Hashtag royal baby.
All I know about that is I saw two ladies talking about how the baby's probably going to be ugly today.
And that's what we have noted OBGYN Mike Lemieux with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, also slightly less noted OBGYN, and he does it in the back streets of New York, Mark Bradshaw.
Hey, what's up? That was horrifying. I do nothing in the back streets of New York. Nothing.
And also wet nurse and possible midwife, Matt Pierce.
Sure thing, why not?
What is it? Wet nurse and midwife are the same thing, aren't they?
No.
No, God's no.
Midwife helps with delivery. A wet nurse is a nurse who also breastfeeds.
Yeah.
That's like where the wet comes in.
You see, rich people are too rich to actually use their own breasts to feed their children. So
Hire someone.
Before we get super cynical
about that, there are some women who actually have trouble producing milk.
If you're rich and can't produce milk,
you don't use formula, you hire a wet nurse. But yeah, you got to be rich.
Yeah, you got to be rich.
Some of these rich people may have a legitimate reason.
Okay, I'm not that I want to have our listeners like visualize this in their head, but no one's seriously thinking Kate Middleton's going to use the royal boobs on her own child. That's not going to happen. There's going to be a wet nurse. We'll never know who this lady is, and it's basically going to be this child's mother. Right?
I'm sure no member of the royal family has been fucked up by a weird upbringing.
No.
So I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, how could that go wrong?
Is that we hear about. I think the reason we're not hearing about the child's name or pictures of the child is just in case it's a horrible monster and they have to get rid of it and get, like, a different child.
It's British royal family. Of course it's a horrible monster.
They'll find some parking lot to dump it in.
Well, I mean, like a two-headed monster, not just...
And adopt a more photogenic baby.
Yeah. I think that's the entire reason they brought Kate Middleton into the family, because they needed to widen the gene pool, because they're getting kind of hideous. I mean, Harry's kind of a monster, halfway to being a monster in himself, so they had to say, hey, we need to get an attractive lady in here.
Well, Charles is like cripplingly unattractive, but his kids are not super ugly, they're just idiots. Like, who dresses like a Nazi to a party?
Not me.
People who never have to face consequences.
Yes.
So I do appreciate the silly hat culture that Kate has apparently brought to British fashion. Because she has silly hats, and the two duchesses, so I don't know who their names are, but trust me, there's these two duchesses who also wear incredibly silly hats, and they have crazy eyes.
So speaking of silly hats, the Steam sale just ended.
Yeah.
There was no hats in the Steam sale.
Steam was my favorite game of last week.
Steam was a weirdly addicting game from last week that I feel bad. It's one of those things like it's like you've been out all night drinking and you just wake up just full of regret.
You wake up and look at your inventory and find 4 BioShock Infinite cards.
I have way too many like chivalry cards, I think.
I'll trade you for a BioShock Infinite card.
I have tons of Kerbals. That's what I have.
Okay, I have a foil BioShock Infinite that I'm going to hold on to for like a year and then make bank on.
Yeah.
Which I think, BioShock Infinite foil is it? Because I had the Latouche twins.
No, the one called BioShock Infinite from the summer sale that you can't get anymore. That's foil.
That's going to be crazy.
You can technically get it if you craft it from having all the BioShock Infinite cards.
Oh, really?
Yes. So it's still possible to get these things. It's just a lot of work.
And people hate work and will pay money to avoid work. So I'm still good.
If I get like $2 a card, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, apparently price has already skyrocketed.
They went down immediately at the end of the sale, then went back up. So, who knows? Maybe there will be some weird economics thing to this that causes them to go up to the 20s.
I want
that weird weed emoticon.
I want Valve to say how much money was spent on cards over the course of the Steam sale from the marketplace. Just
do you really want like an entire collective of people to just be completely depressed?
Yeah, I just want like $4 million were spent 15 cents at a time. Congratulations.
Maybe if they release information, it's finally like the breaking point for humanity, and we just think, "Fuck! What have we done?" And just march on their offices and just destroy them before they destroy us. Or it'd be like the Butlerian Jihad in Dune.
Maybe this is actually the greatest accomplishment man has ever will ever be known for. This is it. This is the high point.
Or the immediate, like, crushing realization that we all hate ourselves.
Yeah, we always
But we got cards.
We're
gamers. That's always there, like, in the back of our head.
So what's the end game on these cards? Are they eventually going to be, like, a magic thing? Like, will my Bioshock card have, like, 5 of casting?
I doubt that, because I think if they're going to make a card game, they'd just make a card game. But I think the entire point of this is just to have badges, and then, like, that's just something to, like, for your Steam EXP level. That's it.
It gets people to play old games. I mean, look at how many people you saw buying and then idling in games that they didn't really
play. Well, I don't know that that's playing old games.
Yeah.
You give Valve that's just leaving money.
That's true.
Not anymore, because they like Team Fortress 2. I'm just going to leave that running in the background for 2 hours because fuck Team Fortress 2, but I get some cards.
Valve doesn't give a shit. They got your money. You can do whatever you want with your money. You can not play your games all you want.
Yeah. Also, Team Fortress 2 is free to play, thus you have to actually spend money in the game to get cards.
Boom.
So they thought that through.
Brilliant.
Yep.
But yeah. So how much damage did you guys do to your like financial well-being through this deep sell?
I haven't calculated it, but I'm guessing somewhere in the area of like 150.
I gave myself a $50 limit. I stuck to it, so.
I didn't. I just went like, fuck, make it rain. I'll do whatever I want.
I can't help but be okay.
What did you end up buying, Matt?
Just Tomb Raider, Sleeping Dogs, and Mark of the Ninja. That's really it.
So I got Scribblenauts Unlimited, Fez, Surgeon Simulator, Tomb Raider, Hitman Absolution, Kerbal Space Program, Counter-Strike Go, Monaco, Kart Life, Super Puzzle Platformer, and No Time to Explain.
Okay, if that's shocking to you, then my list is going to be you feel really
should
bad.
Should I like lean back and put my feet up and find a nice book?
Call of Juarez, Gunslinger, Dark Souls, Antichamber, Far Cry 3, Blood Dragon, Tomb Raider, Surgeon Simulator, System Shock 2, The Swapper, Reyus, Knights of the Old Republic 2, Castle Crashers, FF7, the two Castle Crashers DLC, The Secret World, Secret Sam, Serious Sam, it's BFE, Sam. Devil May Cry 4, Gunpoint, Evil Land, Counter-Strike Go, two XCOM DLC, Monaco, Strike Zero, and Strike Suit Zero DLC, all the Saints Row DLC that was actually good, Galactic Civilizations Complete Pack, Kart Life, Vessel, They Bleed Pixel, Super House of Dead Ninjas, No Time to Explain, McPixel, and Super Puzzle Platformer Deluxe.
I seriously want to play Secret Sam. That'd be amazing.
You didn't get Strike Suit Infinity?
Was there an Infinity?
Yeah, it's the like single-player arcade version, so you don't have to play online with people.
Okay, so I started that game.
Fucked up.
I figured it's a mech game, and I figured, okay, this probably controls like Zone of the Enders, because that's my baseline for mech games. So I played it with a controller at first, and the very first tutorial thing is, oh, shoot down these three interceptors. So I spent maybe like 10, 15 minutes trying to do that, because like, oh, the controls in this game are terrible, I can't hit anything worth shit, something must be wrong. So I said, on a lark, just switch to mouse controls, see if that's any better. It's baby easy at that point. Like, what took me 10 minutes before took me maybe 30 seconds the next time.
Yeah, you used the superior form of controls.
I just didn't know it was that big a gap. I figured the gamepad would be at least kind of good, or kind of useful, but no, it's shit. But yeah, I should probably get Strike Suit Infinity, huh?
Maybe. Now that it's not on sale, you don't have much push to do it.
Yeah, winter sale. I can wait.
I've only really played two of these games. Surgeon Simulator and Fez, and Surgeon Simulator is really great.
I still think you people are crazy on the Surgeon Simulator.
It's so just, stupid.
It does not look in any shape, way, or form fun. Like, it doesn't
need you need to just cross out of your mind the idea that you're trying to finish an objective there. The entire thing of that game is, holy shit, everything is so weird.
You think it's about precision, but it's actually about the opposite. It's about just kind of like ham-fisting your way through a surgery, and then the game doesn't really care how you did it. It was just hilarious how you did that.
You grab a hammer and break open someone's rib cage by just slamming it down as if you're controlling like a crane machine at an amusement park.
Seems like you're paying money to play Quap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Why would you do that?
It is Surgeon Quap.
Because at one point I accidentally pricked myself with a needle and started tripping balls and had to like fumble my way around to try to find the antidote on the table. And then when it looked like I wasn't going to finish like find it and my timer's running out, I grabbed a hammer and beat the guy to death.
Okay, that works too. You don't
at
want
one point, I grabbed a floppy disk and I literally threw it into the disk slot.
Did it work? Is it right side
yes.
up? Okay.
Well. Yeah, it totally worked. The DLC started.
That's the dream of just like whip it like a playing card and just right into the slot.
I don't know. Like, I bought Kart Life, but I'm not, like, I know that if I get that, it'll just depress the shit out of me.
I don't want to be depressed right now. I'll be depressed later.
Wait, yeah. Kart Life?
Yes. Have you played Papers, Please?
Oh, yes, yeah, okay.
It's like that, except...
Except you lose your child because you can't pay rent.
Yeah.
Okay, Kart Life, like a
cart on the street, like a newspaper cart or a hot dog
oh,
cart.
Oh, okay. So this doesn't yeah. sound like an exciting, like, I'm a professional cart racer. Type game that'd be interesting.
Oh, not Kart Life.
Ah. That would be a much more upbeat game.
Oh man, we need to make that really fast.
Yeah, I would. That guy say this sounds like a really great game. Why would it be depressing? Kart
that
Life.
Sounds like an iOS game. Kart Life.
Oh, no, Kart Life. Kart Life is the spin-off with all the characters from Kart Life in carts. So you in have carts. Like oh, you have right. like yeah. the judge that takes your kid away driving a gavel.
We should pitch that idea to the guy. Like, after Papers, Please, you should totally do this.
Or it could be, like, I've never actually played the board game Life. I don't know if there's actually characters in it, but maybe it's that. That people...
Aren't they little, like,
it's
peg things?
It's pink peg and blue peg.
Yeah,
no, it's like a little minivan, and you have a peg to start with, and then you get more pegs for the rest of your family.
Yeah, see, then... it writes itself. Everybody could have a minivan,
and when your friend's in the bathroom, you switch his girl peg for a boy peg so that he has two guys driving the van, and then you laugh about it.
You're gay now.
So I've also bought They Bleed Pixels, and that game is really surprisingly good.
I bought that. I haven't actually installed it yet.
So, like, you get graded at the end of each level, and you're graded on how many times you've died, how many checkpoints you set. And the way they set checkpoints is probably the most interesting way I've ever seen checkpointing in a game.
Mm-hmm.
When you build up enough energy through combos and gathering little orbs, if you stand still for 3 seconds, then you set a checkpoint there.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So, like, it's a real risk-reward thing if you want a better grade. You don't want to set checkpoints everywhere you go, but you die really, really easily. So, a lot of times I'll just be playing through a level, like, oh, I can probably get through this, I don't need to set a checkpoint. Like, nope, died, heading back 5 minutes.
So you have to, like, cash in your score to get a checkpoint?
I mean, you're not really... pretty much. You're trading out your score because your ranking at the end is going to suffer for too many checkpoints.
It seems like a very Japanese action game type way of, like, handling a save like that.
Yeah. And it's a really interesting story that, like... Well, not interesting story, I say, but interesting concept that you're a little girl that found a book and now you're becoming Cthulhu.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So you get little claw hands and that defeats enemies.
I bought that game. There was a game. Yeah, Super House of Dead Ninjas.
Yeah,
that game's awesome.
It is awesome.
Okay, I'm gonna assume that when you guys like loaded it up and like turned on like your 360 pad, it just worked, right?
No, you have to go into the options.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I went to the options, but it does like the actual prompts never reflect the change.
Oh, okay. So you just like match the.
Yeah, it'll say, like,
you
C
have to map
for bombs
people.
Or whatever,
okay.
And I just pressed every button until I figured out what everything was.
I think I actually went in and set my own controls. I just went through and, like, bombs this, jumps that.
All right, well, mine never, like, actually responded to the 360 pad, so I just gave up. That's how awful, like, of a console gamer I am.
I'm not sure I could play that game without a 360 pad. I tried it on the keyboard, and...
Yeah, it definitely works with the 360 pad, because I played it last night with it.
Oh, yeah, that's the only way I got far in that game.
Well,
yeah.
I check, like, in the community, and, like, a lot of them say, oh, I can't get my 360 pad to work, and it seems, like, very random. Now, meanwhile, Super Puzzle Platformer Deluxe works fine.
Different developers. They're just published by Adult Swim.
Okay.
Who's actually, like, a surprisingly good indie game publisher these days.
They get a budget, and they're allowed to go out to, like, find famous indie people and just say, here's money, make us something. Do whatever you want. Make it crazy. Okay.
I was speaking with Andy McClure, and she's telling me that in the indie gaming community, like, cashing out with Adult Swim is actually, like, the high point. That's actually, like, your end goal. If you can cash out with those guys, you've made it, and you're probably set for as being an indie developer. You now have earlier.
I saw a tweet today a couple days ago, that Hotline Miami has been delayed to 1994.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Have they said, is that just like pointing out that it's going to be set in the 90s? Because it's not
yeah.
fun. The 90s suck, guys. There's no nostalgia.
I don't know. The 90s could be fun fueled on crack.
I guess.
I didn't spend the 90s doing cocaine.
But now you can, in game form.
I highly recommend that. That's the absolute best way to get through the 90s. Just high on crack cocaine and then having a baby. And they have a crack baby.
So did you guys buy Monaco?
Yes.
No.
Has anyone played it yet?
No. It was a Steam sale. Of course I haven't played these games.
I remember being really excited for it, but I don't want to play it like alone. I think it needs to, for a heist game, you need to play online.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure actually, like, is there even a single player mode for that game that you'd want to involve yourself with at all?
No.
I'm relatively sure there is. But
that seems like doing like solo Team Fortress or something. Doesn't seem like a point, or like Payday. Didn't point to it.
Which I kind of want Payday too, but I know it's going to, like, I'm not going to want that game until winter when it's going to be on sale.
Yeah. It was on sale for like $5 at some point.
No, not Payday 2, Payday 2, like the sequel.
Yeah. It was on sale at one point.
It's not even out yet. It's not out.
Okay.
It might be like.
Yeah, that's how good it was. That's the amazing sale.
Might be one of those like 5% off pre-order things.
Yeah, possibly.
Might have been. I just assumed like Payday the Heist. I thought that was a sequel. I thought the first one just Payday. So Nitro Beer, that's where you get your hard-hitting gaming journalism and news.
Yep. And also weird references at the podcast teams.
You guys are crazy.
Yeah.
Somehow. Am I?
Yes.
I also bought Final Fantasy VII sometime over this thing.
Like, Why would you do that to yourself?
Because I want to play Final Fantasy VII again.
You're not going to play it. No, you don't. You're going to start the game. You're going to say, oh, God, this is terrible. Because it was bad. Everyone that thinks that game was good, wrong. If you're about to say that the game was good, I'm going to tell you you're wrong. Go ahead and say it's good.
I would like to say, for the record, you like Mortal Kombat 2.
Ooh.
You're like, Kombat you genuinely think Mortal that's Kombat a good a game.
Fine, Mortal Kombat 2 is a fine video game, sir.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You're really going to criticize Final Fantasy VII for nostalgia and then say Mortal Kombat 2 was
good? Here's the thing with
good.
Mortal Kombat 2 and Final Fantasy VII. I love Mortal Kombat 2, but I will totally acknowledge that if I go back to it now, I would hate Mortal Kombat 2.
It was shit at the time.
That was fine.
It was bad Street Fighter.
No.
It was a fine take on Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, you hate Mortal Kombat if you wanted it to be Street Fighter, because it wasn't Street Fighter.
I didn't want it to be Street Fighter, I wanted it to be good. It would just happen to be bad Street Fighter.
I think your anti-Mortal Kombat bias is well known, Mr. Khan. And you,
well, that anti-Mortal Kombat bias comes from the fact that Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 were really bad games.
Okay, I can't then...
Says the guy who likes Final Fantasy
VII. I can't deny Mortal Kombat 1 was a...
I didn't say I liked Final Fantasy VII. You guys assumed I did. I bought it because I wanted to play it again.
I'm so glad I'm here for this.
But, okay.
By the way, I'm actually one of the people who made the one was Final Fantasy VII is like super overrated. But still, like, there's that still bit of a nostalgia from the fact that I played the shit out of that demo and I played the shit out of that game when I was 12 years old. I can legitimately recognize
it. I'm just going to always be bitter about Final Fantasy.
Well,
I'm always going to be bitter because it's not nearly as good. It's not as good of a game as Final Fantasy VI. I always feel like it took like some of like the accolades that VI deserved, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah. Call of Duty isn't as good as Vanquish.
What?
Surprise, Call of Duty is going to get a lot more accolades, a lot better reviews, and a lot more sales. That shit happens.
Final Fantasy VII had commercials.
Yes. And those advertisements that
call
the people who make games on cartridges and give them like a blindfold and a cigarette.
Yeah.
Like, that game got pushed heavily, and for the most part, you can thank it for the RPG... I don't want to say renaissance?
Boom.
Yeah, okay, fine. Renaissance works fine.
Well, it let its renaissance had lasted for a little while and then kind of died again for a while.
Yeah, but you can't blame that on 7. You can blame that on 8.
I don't think you could say it's responsible for renaissance. I mean, it's not like RPGs had fallen flat before that. They were still kind of popular.
They didn't hit those numbers.
Yeah. It definitely altered.
It's like once Final Fantasy VII came out,
I mean, those numbers were maybe not the reason that JRPGs were still existing, but it created that space for more JRPGs to come. Like, shits like Do Prism, or what was that called in America? Threads of Fate. That would have never come out here if not for the fact that Square was making bank on JRPGs.
And Sony was
I don't think, like,
really
it's
hard for anything with FMV.
I think it's the fact that, like, it created new games. It, like, we saw more games. It's like, would we have seen Parasite Eve in America without this? Probably not.
I don't think we would have seen a lot of any of that PS1 era output. I don't think we would have seen many of that stuff extending into the PS2 era.
Like, and Vandal Hearts, we wouldn't see, or Vagrant Story without that.
Oh, fuck, I still Vagrant Story.
Being a good video game is, like, completely separate from that, of course. But I don't know.
Vagrant Story had its qualities.
Vagrant Story is a shitty game.
I'm sure you hate things that I can't remember, or love things that are terrible that I can't remember right now.
Nope,
I've got dirt on all of you.
I'm absolutely perfect. You can't come up with anything.
There's probably some horrible anime game he really likes.
Hatsune Miku.
Nah. Hey, everybody loves those games. They sell great. You're on the wrong side of history here, old man.
Yeah. We'll see what happens when that PS3 game comes out in America.
Yeah.
Can I guess not well?
We'll see.
No, we probably won't. I'm sure we'll all forget about this conversation soon.
Yep. What conversation?
Exactly. So did anyone buy Trackmania Valley?
No. Nobody's playing it.
No?
Yeah. They really fucked that up.
Well, it's because you need separate launchers for every game, which is fucking... Why? Why do you...
Some are Steamworks, some aren't. Like, are these... They're not sequels, but they're all iterating on them like they are.
You know, I never got into Trackmania when it first came out because of Stardock. You know, just because of their crazy DRM schemes.
I got it years later after I think that stuff was gone.
Yeah. When they put it on Steam, I give it a try.
Yeah, it had just passed its moment in the sun by the time it was out on Steam.
No, I remember I downloaded it on Steam.
I think Trackmania was particularly fun.
Yeah. Trackmania is fun.
It's fun for a while, and then at a certain point you're like, what the fuck am I doing? And just quit it and never return.
Well, I've put it this way before. It's Meat Boy the Racer.
Yeah. And also, it really depends on what servers you're on. If you're on a server that takes itself really seriously and doesn't play, like, dubstep versions of the Rugrats theme, then you're not going to have fun.
That's not Trackmania. I don't know what that is.
That's totally Trackmania.
What, not having dubstep?
No, I mean, like, they're just totally silent ones.
I know, but that's not Trackmania to me.
That's shitty Trackmania.
Yeah, they're playing it wrong.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Pro Trackmania. You guys just don't respect it. The e-sport of Trackmania. It's five people. They get $5 for, like, a tournament.
They all live in the same house in France, train 24 hours a day.
I don't know. Ubisoft is publishing them, and they did that weird Shoot Mania thing, like, two E3s ago.
Remember the RPG one that's supposed to happen?
Which we've never seen ever again. Is that just RPG Mania?
Quest Mania? I think.
I'm sure it's going to be shit. Yeah,
we never ever saw them again. Well, if they have any money, because nobody's buying Trackmania, so it's probably just going to go out of business before we see it.
And nobody's buying Shootmania, certainly.
Well, the problem is, Stadium just came out like a month ago, and then you know, people aren't even really have their fill of that yet, and then they're trying to segregate it again.
It's not well managed.
No.
Whatever Ubisoft thinks they're doing is totally wrong.
I mean, it'd be different if these were just expansions on a core game, you know, and hey, now you can do Valley stuff if you buy it.
Yeah. Just sell one thing for like $30 and then make everything else like DLC.
That's what they'll do after they release a whole bunch of stuff.
That should have been the first thing.
Yes, I agree.
So I saw Pacific Rim.
Oh, fuck yes. We're going to do this.
Yes. Because that's a really fucking good movie.
I saw it in 3D because I loved
it. Don't spoil the intricate Pacific Rim like storyline or its rich universes. I have still yet to see it, which is my own stupid fault, but still.
I would recommend not.
Just don't reveal that. But that
I would recommend not seeing it in 3D.
Yeah, that's everything I've heard. That like, it's. The 3D is really kind of bad and distracting. I saw it in just regular, and it was perfectly fine.
Yeah. It's the subtitles and the debris during fights are what got me. It's just like all this kind of shit in your face that kind of made you squint and blink and I don't know.
The subtitles weren't just that screen depth.
Kind of. They were sort of blurry. They didn't work
so is
right.
This the, so is this the movie that like redeems this year's like summer action movies? Because this has been kind of dire.
This movie's bombing like crazy.
When like money wise, sure, it's going to suck. It's going to be terrible. And it's going to like lose like hundreds of jobs. But like as far as like being an enjoyable movie, because there's been this and that's practically it.
Well, I'll say if you're going in there with the expectations of I want to see robots beat on monsters.
Okay. Yeah.
It's absolutely that.
If you're going,
it's like that's 50% of the movie.
If you're going in there for I want people to grow as characters, no. Okay. Don't.
Yeah, I want a mature take on the giant robot, like media. Then that's not going to happen.
Here's my
like literally yeah. Everyone just goes like those characters. If you've ever seen G Gundam, it's a lot like that.
Oh, the Chinese okay. Gundam.
Yeah,
or Chinese
the American Gundam,
Jaeger.
Which with like boxing gloves, or was it a quarterback? Like there was a quarterback Gundam and a boxing Gundam, right? Or am I?
They were the same.
Yeah,
line.
It was.
He was a football player boxer,
and he was also a surfer. It had a surfboard it rode around on.
Jiminy Cricket, I think his name was.
That was his name.
Jimmy Crockett. That was it.
Was it
yeah, Jiminy Cricket would be British, probably.
No, he's also a Disney character. I guess they couldn't use Jiminy Cricket.
Chibbity Crockett.
Chibody. That's right.
Chibody Crockett. I'm just kind of surprised it took Hollywood this long to figure out. Hey, let's put robots and giant monsters into the same movie. There's a reason because it like horribly bombed, but still.
Pacific Rim is basically Power Rangers the movie for adults.
Yeah. Like there's characters that like make big like
there's characters?
Huge dramatic sacrifices that like, oh, we just found out about this like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. There's also
like there was no build up to this, but it's still like this huge fuck yeah moment.
There's basically no plot to the movie besides we need to punch these monsters really hard all the time and never stop.
Does it work? Do they eventually just punch them and the monsters go away?
I thought you wanted me to not spoil it for you.
It does work. They do indeed punch.
Yes. Sweet. There is punching.
Sometimes there's punches assisted by jets. So
also quips. There's lots of quips.
Man, we had a guy in our theater that had like the really distinct laugh, and he would laugh at things that were not jokes. Like when the jerky rival goes like, you know, you're gonna get me killed out there, and I really like my life. Like you just heard ha like from one corner of the theater.
That's weird because you're saying a movie dedicated to like giant robots would attract like spurgy dudes who don't know how to act in public. That's weird. I can't believe you're saying that.
It was also like
some of the humor does actually fall pretty flat. Like the guy from It's Always Sunny.
Oh,
like his first or second scene was actually really kind of shitty.
Those guys were way too wacky for that movie.
They calm down over the course of the movie.
But at first, it's like everyone's like 10% wacky, and they're like 1,000% wacky.
Yeah,
I think the wackiness of the movie actually brings themselves up to them. I don't think they get less.
But maybe
it eventually like evens out. They infuse so much wacky into the movie that like raises the tide.
By the time Ron Perlman's character shows up, you just throw your hands up and go, "Sure, whatever. I'm
great.
All aboard this ride."
It's just a shame they're not making money.
There's a part of the movie that's like straight out of Deus Ex: Human Revolution.
Yeah,
just the whole aesthetic and area around the city is
the China part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's future China, basically, which is basically Deus Ex.
8 years future China.
Yeah.
It's just smog, you can't see anything, or just future?
You can still see things, but it's all lit up.
Good future. Okay. Neon.
Also, early in the movie, there's just, like they do this whole thing of like explaining where the kaiju came from and all that stuff. And there's like this one like half-second shot of Obama with the caption, like, giant monsters, and he looks so totally unconcerned.
Of course he is. He's
like scratching his nose.
They probably just grabbed a clip of him like explaining that job numbers are up a little bit.
he just finished explaining to America the giant monsters. It's like, well, this is probably the Republicans' fault too.
I don't know. I like Obama, but I'm not sure I trust him with dealing with giant monster threats.
I don't know where he stands on the kaiju issue, and frankly, that worries me.
I would love for someone in the White House press corps to just like ask him, and he'll just walk away.
Well, hey, they could start another petition, like the last one where they petitioned
to
make a Death Star, yeah.
Yeah. We are a giant robots, Mr. Obama. That is something that could create jobs in America.
I don't want to wait for the kaiju to come. I want to be ready.
Well, if we're not building, we can guarantee ourselves that the Russians and the Chinese are building giant robots. And there's going to be a giant robot gap.
What if terrorists already have giant robots?
They probably do.
Can't know.
That would be the excellent ending to Zero Dark 30. Like, they chase Bin Laden into a room, and then suddenly, like, the walls crack.
They do the thing where they open the door, and he's sitting in a chair laughing maniacally, and the chair, like, lifts back, and it's the center of a mech that pulls out of the house.
And then they pull back again with the picture. They pull back to the seals, and, like, the camera pulls back again, and Obama comes through in his Metal Wolf Chaos mech, and there's a fight.
And then, like, five of them do hand gestures, and they each shoot a different colored beam into the sky.
So speaking of kicking ass as president, is anyone else extremely excited for Saints Row 4?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I'm not extremely excited. I'm going to get it, but like for some reason, there's no hype there for me.
I don't know. I'm pretty pumped for it. It's weird. They announced today that the Enter the Dominatrix was DLC for Saints Row 4 when I thought it was just getting folded in. Which is
wasn't that supposed to be DLC for Saints Row 3 and?
Yeah,
just got
supposedly
back.
That was the foundation for this game.
Yeah. I think it was just they were using ideas, which turned out to probably be the superpowers, which is why that's a virtual world.
I'm going to guess that the Enter the Dominatrix, they just really like that name and just wanted to use it again for the...
It is a really great name. But I'm kind of agree with you, Imran. I'm not terribly interested in the game right now. I think it's entirely because of this whole virtual world aspect. It's like, I understand, okay, it's a video game, but now it's a video game inside of video games, so the destruction seems even less, like, coherent. I don't know, it doesn't seem like there's any consequence involved.
I don't know, Saints Row has never really been a thing about consequence.
Yeah.
Anything that allows Saints Row to get crazier is okay in my book.
I guess, but I mean, if everything is just happening inside a virtual space, I fully understand, like, you, in the first, like, not the first game, the last game, I had, like, a grenade launcher, and, like, there's these luchadors coming at me, and I'm just, like, firing a grenade launcher and blowing up luchadors for, like, 5 hours. And that's great, I understand that's stupid and didn't really happen, but now it's happening inside a different video game that's inside a different video game. And there's a disconnect there. I'm not sure if I'm going to enjoy it as much.
Well, they said there would be some things going on outside of the virtual reality stuff, too. So I assume at some point there will be, like, somebody attacks the White House sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of it actually takes place in the virtual world, just that that's, like, a jumping-off point.
I think most of it does, because that's the actual, like, open-world part, but I'm thinking some missions probably take place outside of it.
I would hope so, because, I mean, the entire great point of Saints Row was, like, you had GTA, but, like, with wacky shit. Now, if GTA just had a video game inside it where you're also doing wacky shit, it's like, well, this is kind of dumb.
I mean, don't give them that idea. They're going to do that eventually.
I don't know.
You want to go bowling?
I can't get too mad at Saints Row for getting even stupider, because that's kind of what I want them to do.
Yeah, as long as these virtual parts of the like the virtual reality stuff leads to goofy shit happening on my TV, I'm cool with that.
What would be great is, like, at the end of Saints Row 4, like, they pull back and, like, they pull them out, the Animus or whatever, and then, like, they do that, like, for 4 or 5 different layers of the Animus. They just keep pulling them out, and then you have no idea what's going on. They, like, eventually circles around back around to the first one.
I would love for them to mock the shit out of Assassin's Creed 3 at the end of that.
Yeah, so who actually owns Saints Row now?
Deep Silver.
Yeah, Deep Silver.
The Russians do. No, the Germans do, actually.
They're not Russian. They're not German.
They're German. Deep Silver's German.
Hope Media? Is something.
They're German.
Did Deep Silver make Majestic way back when?
I think just publishers.
Hey, they are German.
Yeah, thank you. You looked at the Koch Media and thought, oh, hey, the Koch brothers that run, like...
No, I'm not...
I did the first time, too.
That was, like, great seeing all the journalists get super pissed off and then, like, an hour later being like, oh, okay.
Oh. The Koch brothers don't actually own this game we love. Okay, we're sorry.
Deep Silver basically mined THQ's goods qualities.
Oh, these guys made Cursed Mountain.
That was a good game. What the hell is Cursed Mountain?
It was on the Wii. It was...
Yeah.
Oh,
it's the one where you're trying to rescue your brother from Mount Everest.
Mount Everest, like, haunting him? Yes, it turns out
that the path up to Mount Everest is haunted by all the people who died there.
Oh,
I'm not sure how I never played that game for a stream, then.
That game is actually pretty damn good.
That came out right around the time of Escape from Bug Island, right?
No, Escape from Bug Island was a launch game.
No, it came out right about the time that Silent Hill Shattered Memories came out, and it got totally eclipsed by that.
Well, Silent Hill Shattered Memories is a really, really good game.
Yeah, Silent Hill Shattered Memories is much better than Cursed Mountain. But Cursed Mountain is still pretty good.
Silent Hill Cursed Mountain probably a really great game.
It would actually probably be shitty.
Yeah, probably.
A hill and a mountain? Come on, Mark. That's just crazy.
I thought, like, when you first described it, like, the mountain was coming after him. That'd be great to protect your brother from this fucking mountain. It's Mount Everest.
And then it turns out you're Muhammad.
And it turns out you're Muhammad. This mountain came to you.
Yes. Mark got the joke.
Thank you.
Checking, it wasn't a launch game in America, so.
Escape from Bug Island?
Yeah.
I remember that being really shitty. But...
Oh, it's super shitty. Super duper shitty.
I miss the days of, like, just hilariously shitty games for launches. Now that they're trying to be... They try to just aspire above shitty, but still, like, none of these games are good.
Wow.
Well, there is the Wii U
trying
eShop.
Trying to, like, go for camp.
I'm reading the wiki for Escape from Bug Island, and this is amazing. There's a giant spider named Beelzebub, and the final battle is against a human named Robert, who is mutated into an insect like in the movie The Fly.
See, that's the wrong way to go. It should just spin you're fighting a human. A human-sized human, and you're an insect, and you got to kill this human trying to squish your, like, colony.
That's Deadly Creatures. That also existed.
Oh. And Mr. Mosquito.
Wow.
Oh, Mr. Mosquito was great. I loved that game back in the day.
Mr. Mosquito was, like, really kind of creepy
at times.
It was really
voyeuristic.
The litmus test for people you didn't want to know.
Yeah. Like, owning that game for irony's sake is fine, but being, like, genuinely enjoying, hey, let me land on this teenage girl's legs and just suck on her for a while.
Well, it was, how many times did they bite her in the boob to hear her moan? If it was more than two, you walk away slowly.
So this has to be a Japanese game, right? I'm just like...
Mr. Mosquito, yes. You're terrorizing a Japanese family.
You think the game where you, like, suck blood out of a 16-year-old girl in a bath is a Japanese game? Where'd you ever get that idea?
Well, let's see. Yeah. There's
a
couple
the wife is in the bath. The 16-year-old girl is on her bed.
I thought the girl takes a bath, too, like, later. The wife is in the,
There's a later?
the you know story a lot about this game.
The second campaign of Mr. Mosquito.
I might remember way too much about Mr. Mosquito.
Well, as long as we have an expert.
Yeah.
But,
sadly,
okay,
not
so...
on the Steam sale.
No,
it was a PS2 game.
Yeah.
It was a PS2 or PS1?
It's PS1 game.
Yeah, PS1.
It's
it was a PS2 game. I'm looking at the wiki for it now.
Oh, okay.
It was released in 2001. Yeah.
I've multiple times looked at that box in GameStop and turned around and saw the pictures on the back and went, oh, that, and put it back off the shelf.
And you're just sitting here thinking, how can I get this game past the GameStop guy without him knowing I'm purchasing this horrible porn game?
Oh, a mascot platformer, maybe.
So when my ex-girlfriend really liked Dead or Alive, so whenever we would go to GameStop, and okay, I would pay for the games. So we would go to the GameStop by her house, and I'd bring in, like, Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball, and another week I'd buy Dead or Alive 4. And eventually, like, the employees there started thinking that I was forcing my girlfriend to play these games. Like, I was buying these
scam.
Games for myself.
That's a great scam. I like that. Okay.
I told her this, and she found it just endlessly amusing. So she started, like, buying creepier games.
I'm just kind of disgusted that you guys were so deep in the DOA, you actually got enjoyment out of Extreme Volleyball.
Hey,
just,
not me. Not me. All her.
That, still, at that point, you should have stepped in and just...
Yeah, I'm going to tell my ex-girlfriend to stop playing games about bikini-clad virtual girls.
And hey, Imran, stop liking things.
Imran would be the best accomplice to a murder. He'd be like, yeah, I'm going to stop the guy from killing someone. Yeah, I'm going to get in there. And
basically the same thing, right? I mean, you're talking about somebody's very soul here. Like,
it's intellectual murder. You're just
killing your brain.
So next week, Atlas goes on sale.
Oh, like how much? Games? Are they like 80% off? Do I get cards when I buy them?
Do you have $25 million?
I don't know. I might. I honestly don't know at this point.
If so, you can buy them and all
got
their IPs.
Super fucking rare. Oh, wow.
So
for $25 million, you get everything that Atlas has.
Yes, because Index Holdings are just completely selling them off.
Dark Horse, for hilarity's sake, I hope Nintendo buys them.
There was an article I read today that made the case that Nintendo really needs them.
Well, Nintendo's
nobody
got,
really needs them. Yes.
Well, I mean, Nintendo has standing deals with them, so it would be in their best interest to pick them up.
Yeah. It would be in addition to Nintendo's stable, but nobody really needs Atlus.
I hate
that. It would be a developer that releases games that has experience making HD games. Like, you get a game out of them every year. It's more than what they're doing now.
Name two HD Atlus games.
You can't even name the one. There's one.
There's Catherine, and there's Arena.
And what?
Persona 4 Arena.
Oh, the game not made by them?
Yeah, they published it. Shut up.
So, my guess is it's going to be Gung Ho Media, who make, I think, Puzzles and Dragons.
They make
$1 million a day.
Oh, God.
So, they've been spending it on game developers, and they recently acquired Grasshopper.
Oh, God.
So, if they buy Atlus, then that would make a lot of sense with their moves they've been making.
Persona would be perfect for a monster fighting phone game for them to make $1 billion on.
Yep.
Ah, damn it.
So, as someone who, like, just knows about this stuff generally, what is the difference between Atlus and NIS?
They're different companies?
NIS.
Who make different games?
Yes.
Okay, but they seem like they're related somehow, though, by the...
No.
No.
Atlus America published a Nippon Ichi game, Disgaea 1, like, way back in 2003?
You're basically asking what the difference is between Konami and Capcom.
Yeah, they kind of share a fan base, and that's about it. And even that's iffy. Okay.
And NIST puts out some really terrible shit. Like, recently they put out Time and Eternity, which from all accounts is just, like, the worst game of the year.
But NIST does have the advantage.
I tried looking at some videos for Time and Eternity, and I didn't see anything offensive.
It's apparently the worst, shittiest game you've ever played.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, the entire game is palette swaps. Apparently there's, like, four enemies.
Yeah.
And just all differently colored.
And it's just like...
The two main characters are twin girls that live in the same body, and they're just palette swaps with each other.
And it's apparently just the most bog standard, grindy, no frills JRPG.
They want you to masturbate to it, according to the trailers.
Well, I mean, doesn't it come with doesn't the special edition America come with a waterproof poster of the girl?
Yes.
You know, waterproof in case you spill something on it. Like,
the trailer actually has a line, and as far as I know, I'm not paraphrasing this. You know what happens at your wedding night, and then the narrator just giggles.
Like, the waterproof isn't going to help for that.
I don't know if the narrator knows what happens on your wedding night.
If the narrator does, the narrator needs to step the fuck back.
He's read a lot of books about what happens on your wedding night.
Yeah, right now I feel a lot like Inigo Montoya. You keep saying that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
All right, let's take a break.
Sure. Let's take a break.
Soda break.
Stop on Time and Eternity like we should.
And we're back. And you may have noticed Brian's not here. Maybe we should have mentioned that at the top of the cast. Or he's been here and been really quiet.
Brian transplant.
Brian chose the Illiterates Book Club this week. Or this go-around. And apparently he chose Sleeping Dogs, and I'm not sure he told any of us that.
He mentioned
it
on Twitter.
Even I knew that. Did. I saw it on Twitter.
I know he asked us if we've played it. Well, he asked you guys. I guess he knew I played it.
No, he announced it under the Night Tribute account.
Okay. I guess I wasn't paying attention.
I believe, if I may paraphrase, is the next Illiterates Book Club game is Sleepy Dogs.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he told us that.
No.
You know what's a good way to get this information out? It's email. Brian, if you're listening to this, and you really should be listening to this. Fucking email, dude.
I've never seen you reply to an email, Mark. Like, that's, literally never.
I read the emails. That doesn't mean I
didn't.
You know I'm going to be here because I have no life.
Didn't he mention it in the email he sent us today?
Yes.
There you go.
But when I asked him, he was like, I announced it a while ago. And I was like, I didn't know that.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're doing Sleeping Dogs when ever that comes around.
To be clear, I don't have to play Sleeping Dogs, right?
You do not.
Okay.
But you should, because Sleeping Dogs is pretty
good. Remember that? Remember how glitched it was when I first played it, and I was just like in the Matrix? It was pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you try to play with HD Tectors on without having to download HD Tectors?
Yeah, and you're just like in black nothingness with people. It's super awesome looking.
I was thinking of downloading the HD Tectors, and I saw what the download size was. I was like, nope.
Oh, it's so worth it. It's so pretty.
Well, it does. It requires a 1 gig graphics card. And my card's a little older than that. It's 768 megs.
So the Secret World is like 30 gigs.
Yep.
Why did you buy the Secret World anyway? I saw that you did that.
Because my girlfriend
sucker. Oh.
Okay, that's I can't rag on you too much for that.
Yeah. Plus it was also, cheap, so why not?
Also, it kind of confuses me that the Secret World is something you pay money for. How is that not like everything else, like just free?
It's buy to play / free to play. I guess that's a thing. Like Guild Wars.
Yeah. Buy once, I should play online as long as you want.
I kind of want to get Guild Wars 2 at some point, but I don't want more than one MMO in every 4-year section.
I have Guild Wars 2 somewhere.
I don't want any MMOs.
You played Dragon Quest X.
Wait, are you saying I did or I would?
You would.
Oh, yeah, I would.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Special exception for Dragon Quest. Nothing else.
So speaking of things we've been playing, Mike, what have you been playing?
Okay, I've been playing... Let me start with the good one. Shin Megami Tensei 4.
How is that?
It's fucking great. Like, I've never...
So was... You got from Amazon, right?
Yeah.
Was your box also kind
of
dented?
It was, like, squished down, because there's no, like, support in the top part of it. So it just kind of got squished, because they used some little shitty envelope.
Yep, they used...
So your collector's... Your collector's package was squished, or like the boxes, or
it's in like a big cardboard sleeve containing everything, and it just got kind of bowed at the top.
Yeah,
yeah.
But here's the good news, though: that shit ain't worth anything.
Nope.
So don't worry about it.
That's
it's not a matter of worth. It's I like to look nice on my shelf.
I like them
straighten it out.
I think it's a spec thing. I like them to. Why didn't that come in a box? I mean, come on, just.
I guess when they do release date delivery, they probably don't package it that well.
They might get a special price on envelopes over boxes.
They probably don't do anything special. They probably ship it the same way they ship every other video game.
I mean, I got plenty of games in boxes.
Yeah.
I just like to think that Amazon would be smart enough to realize, hey, we're sending off this $50 DS game to some insane Okutu. We should probably take care of it because those people aren't crazy.
The person packaging
they actually care about
DS is...
Well, I have a couple games that came in boxes, like Code of Princess and The Last Story, and those boxes are kind of sturdy or so packed that they can't be squished.
Yeah, like they get the bubble, the air packets in it.
Well, the Code of Princess is about the size of the DS case.
Oh, you mean the actual boxes of the games?
Yeah, there's a CD and a book, and there's no air inside. You know, it's just... Yeah.
I think some blame does fall on Atlas because this is kind of a flimsy box. But can we stop talking about the box? The game.
No, more about the box. Okay. Rest of the podcast is about.
Okay,
the
I don't
box.
Like when people do like the piece of paper glued to the back. And that's like, I don't know if I should throw that away or keep it. It's almost fallen off, and I don't know. How do I want to display this?
All right, so tell me about the game.
Okay, so
I talk about
played...
Code.
Let's talk about Code of Princess.
That girl is wearing no.
Yeah,
let's
talk about Code of Princess. Yeah.
But she refers to it as a dress multiple times in the game.
That's clearly like metal panties and a bra.
Yep.
Yeah, Japan. Anyway,
she's dressed, if that's what
Mark is not gonna let you talk about Shin Megami Tensei.
Let's go for five.
No, go ahead and talk.
Sorry. Six. I've never played a Shin Megami Tensei game before. But I'm really enjoying 4, even though it's balls hard.
It is, from what I hear, very, very
hard. So, you know what they do that's smart? When you die, you can pay with play coins to come back from before you died with no penalty.
Where play coins?
They're the things you get from taking steps throughout the day.
Oh, okay. It's not like, the coins. So, okay.
Yeah. So, like, if you want to give them 9 of those, you can just undo the battle you just did, which is smart.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a good idea, but it's so crazy.
They're finally remembering that play coins exist. So
I've heard from multiple people that they have died during the tutorial.
Oh, I died about 6 times, I think. I died enough that the game was like, hey, do you just want to play on easy or something? Here, we'll give you easy mode. Easy mode's unlocked. You should use that.
So compare this game to someone who's only ever played like the Persona games. Compare SMT to that.
Okay, you know how Persona's like a JRPG? Shin Megami Tensei is yes? more like a straight dungeon crawler. Like, you just have, like, it's kind of okay. the same as Persona. You have the one dungeon you're diving into, but then you accept quests from a quest board, and you have no party, you recruit monsters. So, it's not like Persona where each
character... So you just have, like, one guy that you play?
Yeah, you play as Flynn, or whatever you want to name him.
Okay.
So
is there any part of it that's, like, a traditional JRPG, where, like, going around in a town or, like, talking to NPCs or anything?
There's a town, but it's one of those maps that it's, like... They just give you a list of places you can go, and then the background changes. Like, it's not, you're not walking around a town, you're going through a drop-down menu to get to places.
Hmm.
Like, I'm going to go back to the samurai place.
Sounds like Shining in the Dark.
Yeah.
Though apparently, like, it is a very real, like, accurate map of Tokyo, except for the fact that a bunch of roads are broken. So I've read reviews that have been saying, I had to look up an actual map of Tokyo to figure out where to go.
Yeah, see, I haven't got to where... any Tokyo stuff is, so nice spoilers.
Oh no. Tokyo in a Shin Megami Tensei game?
Well, it doesn't take place on
the horror.
Yeah, but I'm like 5 hours in and I've already had like a jaw-dropping plot twist thing just from what little Shin Megami games I've played.
Was it Tokyo?
There's things that might involve Tokyo, like manga. But yes.
Oh no, we're crossing the streams.
Yeah, manga plays at least a part role in this. It may be the root of all evil, I don't know.
In Yakuza 5, you could straight up read manga in convenience stores.
Oh, man, that sounds awesome.
Too bad it's never coming here.
Yeah. I'd never play it. I still have, what, 4 or 3 on my shelf I need to get through.
I enjoyed what I played of 4, but at some point I was like, I've done too many quests and I have to stop right now or I'm going to hate this game forever.
Didn't you do that with Xenoblade?
No, Xenoblade was I knew that the OCD was going to kill me. Because I went to, like, I jumped up on a thing in town, like, the very first town you go to, and it's like, oh, you get 100 experience points. I was like, nope, if this keeps happening, I'm just going to jump on everything in the game. And
so, I don't know what more to say about Shin Megami Tensei, because it's the kind of game where there's not much to it, you just kind of keep doing it. But it's mm-hmm. also the kind of game where you always kind of have something you can be doing to help yourself. Like, you know, going to grind out some quests or, you know, grinding out experience.
You're never losing progress, basically.
Okay. Yeah, as long as you don't die, so save often.
And grinding doesn't, like, it's not the automatic win button in Shin Megami Tensei that it is in other games.
So that's the thing that they don't explain in the tutorial that I only knew from Persona is you always want to be hitting enemies with what they're weak to. Because yeah. you start... Like, right now, with most enemies, I start with 4 attacks across my 4 characters. Like, each person gets a turn. And if you hit them with something they're weak against, you don't lose that person's turn. So, like, if someone would attack, you'd still have 4. And if...
The press turn.
Yeah. So, if everyone...
So is,
no, go ahead.
So, is there, like, an adorable girl on the radio telling you exactly what they're weak to, or you just have to figure
it out? You just have to figure it out. There's actually apps you get for your, like... The game's menus are wrapped in this, you have like a PDA kind of thing, and you can get apps for it that like give you more information or more experience, that kind of stuff. I've had moments where a really strong monster never even gets to attack me because I'm just wailing on it with things it's weak to, which feels pretty awesome.
But then the counter to that is when you find a monster that you don't know what they're weak to or you don't have their weakness.
Yeah, you have weaknesses yourself and you're very susceptible to them. Yeah.
Then you're pretty much
fucked. I fought a minor enemy earlier that knew a lightning attack that hit everyone, and one of my guys was weak to lightning, so they just kept doing that over and over again until I was dead.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere, so save often.
The Dark Souls of Persona.
And the other couple of games I've been playing is, like I said earlier, I got Surgeon Simulator and Fez, and I've been playing them. And Surgeon Simulator's a lot of fun. It's really dumb, and it knows it's dumb.
So can we talk about Fez?
I kind of hate Fez.
Yeah, let's talk about Fez. Fez sucks, doesn't it?
Game. Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah, well, number one, the internet lied to us. This, if you're defending Fez right now, if you're sitting here listening to this podcast, throwing your headset down, say, fuck those guys. You know what? Fuck you. Fez is terrible. That is a puzzle, like Raptor, the very good puzzles, mind you, very, very nicely done puzzles in the most boring, bland platformer you've ever played in your entire life.
So is it that the game sucks, or that it's no not game. The game you thought?
There's no game. You just walk around.
Okay, let's imagine Myst, right? You've played Myst. You know what Myst is, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now imagine Myst, but instead of like just like moving from like screen to screen, there was like you had to play Mario, right? Which sounds cool, but let's remove all of the enemies from Mario, and let's remove all of the threats from Mario. So and you're then, just jumping around.
And then make Mario play like Sackboy from Little Big Planet.
Yeah. So he's like very floaty and very imprecise and very frustrating actually to play. Imagine Myst with a bunch of bullshit busy work in between the parts of the game you want to play. That's Fez.
So it's a David Cage game?
I mean, I like Cryptology, and there's where I'm at now in the New Game Plus, that's kind of all there is left to do is to just kind of start figuring shit out, because there's clues hidden here and there to get the secret stuff. But, I mean, I go to play and I'm like, oh, I want to go check this place out. Get lost for an hour trying to figure out how to get there and get bored and quit just because you just trudge around and the controls are really bad. And
so what is the fail state of this game?
There's none.
No.
There's literally none. It's just a puzzle game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you fall off, you just reappear on the last platform you're on.
Which I don't think that's inherently a bad thing.
Well, it's inherently a bad thing if it becomes a purgatory.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. It's just you're in a playground, but there's no like swings or anything, and you're just kind of walking around.
Now, like, don't get me wrong. If there's
Yeah. To be fair, very pretty game. Great environments in a lot of parts.
A great art style. I love the art style in it.
I kind of like everything about Fez except the game part.
Yeah, like I appreciate that. I even like the idea where like he doesn't tell you what you need to do. I like that. He doesn't insult your intelligence by telling you what the next puzzle thing is.
The cryptology stuff is excellently done.
Yeah. And like once you figure something out, it's a terrific moment. It's like holy shit moment. But if you can't figure out that next puzzle part, and if then you're kind of just wandering around for a long while.
Yeah, I'm kind of at the part now where I have some leads, but I don't really have anything to go on.
Like, yeah, and you don't know if like your leads are like can't be built up on until you like you have another lead. So you just like
it's like I know how to read this now, but I don't know what those symbols correspond to, and I don't know if they're inputs or letters. It's like so now I guess I just get to wander around and hope I stumble across. I guess the thing was when this game first came out, you had that zeitgeist of people sharing information.
Yes.
But now I don't want to look into that because that's just all the answers.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and there's no way to like look into those answers without being spoiled on everything. So.
Yeah.
I think his next game probably great. He's just making Myst next time.
No, you're thinking of Jonathan Blow.
Oh, yeah. I am.
The guy who made Braid.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah,
he's Fish is like, making Fez the number two.
Great, that's gonna suck.
Mm-hmm.
Oh well, I get.
Well, he says it's gonna be a totally different game. I think so. Maybe it'll be good.
On the upside, that means that this Myst game that you thought looked interesting is made by someone more competent.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually made by someone whose games I enjoy because I like. Despite what you might think about Jonathan Blow or Phil Fish, like actually, because now I've already confused them in my head again. I really like Braiden. That was a good video game.
Yeah, Braid was a fun game. It was. Something.
I was not a big fan of Braid.
You didn't like Braid?
I thought it had really nice music and aesthetics, but like the actual puzzles, I didn't. They were challenging, but not fun.
Yeah, there's kind of a drabness to the game that kind of kept it from ever being like super fun to me. But I still appreciated it.
That's kind of the style of that era, though.
Yeah.
Like that, and World of Goo, and. Now Little Inferno just looks out of place and dated.
Little Inferno is a weird game.
And same thing with Don't Starve.
Oh, another game.
It's brand new, and it looks out of date.
Another game I've been playing recently, that Game & Wario.
How was that?
Nintendo would like to thank you for being like a non-trivial like part of Game & Wario's total sales. Like, you're probably like 12% of Game of Mario's sales in North America.
I think I'm probably something close to that. So let me ask if this sounds familiar to you. It's kind of boring single player, but great if you have other people in the room to play with. Does that maybe sound like a Nintendo game or something?
I've never played a Wario game with other people.
Well, this isn't a WarioWare game.
Oh. Yeah, I don't understand why this isn't a WarioWare game. Like, why not? Why not just make 500 tiny micro games that use the Wii U gamepad in weird ways?
Did, like, the Wario games not sell very well?
Oh, no.
No, they sold great. That's a huge franchise.
You actually know why it's not, right? These are all just...
Because they had to rush the fuck out of it?
No, these were games that were just tech demos that they thought, like, yeah, let's, like, polish these up a little bit and slap some Wario characters in there and then sell it. In fact,
right, that idea is fine as long as they also include the 500 micro games as well.
Some micro games,
but it's not a WarioWare game. Which WarioWare games are good and have a lot of content.
I mean, individual games in that are pretty good. Some are just awful. But a lot of
WarioWare games are pretty good. They have a lot of content. But right when Twisted came out was when it was over for me, and that was pretty early, wasn't it?
That was the second one.
Yeah. They don't want to make WarioWare games anymore. They want to make Rhythm Heaven games. So,
once I was able to burn through an entire WarioWare game in a night, it's just like, no.
Yeah, I remember which one. It's just WarioWare that you got for the Ambassador Program, right?
Yes.
I just started that up one night, and then it's like, oh, I'm already at Wario Man. I've been playing for like an hour and a half. Yeah.
Yeah, once it's not new and confusing to you anymore, it's all easy.
So the Pictionary game in that is the one I've had the most fun with, because they ask you to draw really stupid stuff that nobody would logically be able to guess, like Bodybuilder. So you have people just drawing a buff guy with a bunch of arrows pointing to it, while people say muscles, pecs, arms.
So basically people who are just fucking terrible at Pictionary.
Yeah.
I don't know, I feel pretty good though, because when my girlfriend's drawing, I get stuff like in half a second after she's drawn one line. So
seems like cheating. They have a girlfriend who's good at art.
Yeah.
I don't know. All the people I've always seen that are like good at art are the people who are just terrible at Pictionary, because they take forever on a picture.
Yeah, the idea is that you want to get the point across, not that you want to draw something nice looking.
Yes. And artists take forever.
Like, if you want to draw a trash can, you just like draw a can that semi-resembles one. You don't like start shading it or do all the lines on it.
Unless you're playing like asshole Pictionary, where it doesn't matter how long you take, as long as they get it within that like minute and a half.
Oh god.
I know people who play that way. It's like, what hurt feelings Pictionary. Like, everyone's a winner.
Game and Wario is one of those games, one of those party games that relies heavily on the honor system. Like, a lot of what's determining the game is happening outside of the video game. You know, just like take turns, or you can just sit there by yourself and rack up a bunch of points.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad I skipped it, because I'm not going to have a situation where I'm going to play it with a bunch of people.
It is going to be a great $20 game to pick up and play at a party for one party, but they do the smart thing, and none of the multiplayer games are locked from the start. It's only the single-player stuff that you have to unlock.
Like, I love those games' personality, but it feels like there's just not enough content.
God, there's not enough of it in Game & Wario. Like,
it absolutely should have come out 6 months ago and not now.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems with it. I'm not surprised it just hilariously bombed.
Yep.
I think it sold, what, 4 or 5 digits?
It sold less than the Ouya.
Oh, did you see that Ouya developers are saying that they made upwards of $400 off of their game since the Ouya came out?
Did their game cost $400?
No, like, their $15 game has made them $425 or something like that.
I'm sure that totally justifies the development expense.
I think the biggest success story is that Towerfall.
Towerfall?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is now non-exclusive and is coming to PC.
They still only made it like a couple $1,000s.
Yep.
Well, nobody owns an Ouya, and people who do did it to play ROMs and siloed XMBC.
Hey, our piracy machine has a store. You should buy stuff. Wait, what are you doing? No.
And people who actually bought it for like legitimate reasons kind of hate it. So.
Yeah.
That,
I don't know, like 3 or 4 iterations, if it lasts that long, I might get one as like a Roku replacement.
Well, I mean, like, look at the Retron. That new one looks like hot shit, so maybe the Ouya get there.
Is hot shit good or bad?
It's good.
Okay. Good to know.
Wait, I guess hot shit can be good and bad.
Matt, what are you playing?
I've been playing Bug Hunter. And by Bug Hunter, I mean trying to figure out why nothing works.
So with the Tomb Raider problems?
Yeah, Tomb Raider, I can get a good solid 5 minutes before it crashes. Which it seemed to last a little longer than that, like 3 or 4 days ago, and now it's getting worse. And I don't know if it's just because I'm later in the game or because it got hot out recently and maybe my graphics card is overheating.
Yeah, it sounds like your graphics card is showing its age at this point.
It's not that old.
How old is it? 2 years?
4?
Oh, that's old.
Yeah. Oh, it's... Wow.
This is a relative concept here.
Right.
Yeah. This is a problem. I don't want to spend multiple hundreds of dollars to replace a graphics card so I can play a $15 game.
If it's like a 4-year-old video card, then you can like upgrade it for like $150 and see an enormous amount of difference and keep that for another 4 or 5 years.
Yeah,
you can get a 2010 card really cheaply.
Go 2 generations back and those things are changed. Yeah.
I let's put it like this. If I'm going to go through the trouble, it's not the cost.
Yeah.
It's the trouble. And if I'm going to go through the trouble, I'm going to rebuild my computer. I'm going to rebuild my computer with an eye on heat because this is driving me insane.
What's going
to
be time anyway?
I'm sitting there like, I'm thinking I need to upgrade all my stuff, but my problem is my motherboard's AMD.
Oh.
And if I actually do upgrade, I want to upgrade to Intel, which means
you're boned.
Basically everything has to
Yeah, you're better off just building a new computer. You should do that.
Yeah, I'm thinking I want to upgrade to Intel because it has better heat management.
Yeah.
And not for any other reason.
That's what I also have.
It has better heat management, and also because like just Intel is better value. I mean, I love AMD. I like, hated the fact that I had to build an Intel machine, but there's just you can't compete with it anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, AMD's got weirdly expensive. I don't know why.
I want to say AMD never like they're still using like the same architecture from like 10 years ago. I might be talking about my ass on that, but I think like when Intel like updated to like the new cores, like for like once it went to Pentium to like the Duo, the Core Duos and stuff, like AMD is still using like the stuff based on x86.
That was about the time that AMD introduced x64 architecture, and
okay,
then
so they did that
Intel later with the Core I series, I think, was when they started supporting x64.
Okay,
so if I go with Intel, i5 is like the minimum I should get, right?
i5 is the minimum you should get because getting anything cheaper isn't going to save you enough money for it to matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and like to be honest, like the choke point is going to be your graphics card. It's not going to be the CPU. Like you get a mid-range i5 and be perfectly happy.
See, I actually like AMD's graphics cards. They've never given me problems.
That's fine.
It's just their processors that are like shit.
That's no problem at all. You can just get the AMD card and it works fine.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to upgrade my Radeon rather than, like, switch to NVIDIA or something.
Well, what I'd love to do is build a new system that's A, smaller instead of a full tower, and B, a lot quieter and a lot lower power.
That's going to be, like, you're going to get conflicting odds there because the larger machine is, the quieter and cooler it can be. Like, you're trying to shove it inside, like, a slim case or whatever, it's always going to be
slim,
hotter.
Not slim, just not full tower anymore.
Oh,
mid-tower,
like a mid-tower?
Would be fine.
Oh, yeah, mid-tower. Yeah, if you're going full tower, that's crazy. You shouldn't be doing that anymore. Yeah,
well, it was an inherent.
I like my full tower.
That's like, I got the case from my brother when he works for the State Department.
Yeah.
So when he got his first overseas post, they basically looked at the size of the computer and said, "Nope, get a laptop."
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But so at any rate, Tomb Raider is giving you those issues. Hopefully, Sleeping Dogs won't. We'll see.
Sleeping Dogs.
No.
Game.
There are actual problems with Tomb Raider and NVIDIA cards.
Yeah,
so
I remember
we'll
that.
See.
One time I changed my drivers on while I was playing Sleeping Dogs, like just playing through the game. I booted the game up and it just ran at 3 frames per second for no reason.
Yeah.
When I changed my drivers back, they fixed fine.
So we'll see if it's a driver issue with Tomb Raider or if it's an overheating issue. It could be 50-50 either way right now.
I remember.
If it's crashing, I'm guessing overheating.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah.
I remember that stream that Giant Bomb did when Tomb Raider first came out, and like it melted their graphics card or something like that.
Yeah.
Like if you put that thing all the way up, it really stresses my system, so I had to take it quite a bit down.
Oh, maybe I should try that.
Yeah.
Because right now it's running 1920 by 1200 with most of the settings all the way up.
And definitely turn off Tress Effects if you have it on.
Card does not support it. It's not an AMD card.
Ah. It's a huge resource hog. That I like the idea of good hair physics, but I'm not sure I like the idea of giving up 90% of my CPU for it.
So shouldn't it all be offloaded to your GPU?
Yeah, that's what's going on.
Oh, okay. Then maybe whatever it is, it's causing huge problems.
Well, it could overheat your GPU because it's spending all of its cycles doing hair physics. But that's kind of intended for only the newest graphics cards. Like, that's one of those things that they included it, and only a few people are going to get to use it, really. And then in 2 years, everyone will be able to use it, and it'll look fine. But the other bug I've been hunting is actually came up today. Xenoblade Chronicles. My save file got corrupted.
No!
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's terrible in that game.
So, have you actually gotten through it?
Me? Yeah. I've beaten it.
Okay. I don't know how far I was.
Where were you?
I was at the capital city, about to go into the part where Milia has to go into her trials.
The Hyantia city?
Yeah.
So,
like, 20-something hours.
Maybe halfway?
Okay. Yeah. Deleted.
You're that part in a JRPG where it's like, you're a ways into the game, but you still have quite a bit to go.
Okay, so thankfully, because I had been going from living room to den, I had a save on an SD card, and that took me back to the mines. I have to go through the marsh, the jungle, the inside of the Bionis, which was no enemies. That was easy.
That's like 5 seconds.
Yeah, Aerith Sea. And back into the capital.
The sea and the jungle are going to be the ones that eat up about 10 hours.
Oh, the sea was easy for me.
Oh, I got lost there.
No, the jungle... I only had two major, like, frustrating moments so far with this game. No, three. Three frustrating... The first was that first fight with the face mech on.
Yeah.
Because I got locked into a thing where... I had just enough of the team gauge to revive people.
Yes.
And then watch them die.
Yeah, you get stuck in the endless loop of reviving and death.
Yeah, it's that like, happened to me too. I could just quit this battle. And then I got frustrated by the first Telethia that you have to fight.
It's really hard.
Well, not only that, I went to GameFAQs for help, and GameFAQs was like, take it down to half HP to get through the first part, and then finish it off in the second part. It's like, wow, that's awesome.
So their advice was to beat it?
What the real advice I needed was that there's a move you can do that counters the Telethia's telepathic ability to, that basically gives it block, or gives it, it has an ability that makes it so that every attack you do misses, and there's a counter that you have for that. The problem was I didn't realize you have to activate that at a certain point instead of just always.
So what happened to me is, like, I had used it because I didn't know what it was, and then it got to the part where it was missing, and I couldn't hit it to build up gauge to do it again.
Oh, yeah, so, you have to land hits to build your gauge to use the thing that will allow you to hit.
So it's like, so, I know what I have to do, I just can't do it now because I did things in the wrong order.
Yeah, and then the other frustrating part was getting to the part where you return to your room in the capital city, the Hyantia city, and there's a bunch of guards there who just wreck your shit. And what I didn't realize was that they're immune to the Monado.
Oh, yeah, there's some enemies like that.
Yeah, that is not explained or telegraphed, or like there's no text balloon that says, by the way.
It is part of the story early on that the Monado cannot cut humans, but you're just expected to remember that and apply it to enemies.
But it cuts all sorts of animals just fine.
Oh, there's a part in the beginning where you think you hit Rain, but he wasn't hurt because it can't cut people.
Rain. It's Rain time.
Yeah, it's Rain time.
I don't understand that reference, but I guess I should play that game to find it out.
Did anyone see that? No?
No.
Rain is the best character. He's character of the year 2012.
Yeah. Also 2011, also 2010.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Because of how Xenoblade came out.
But that's basically it, and Mass Effect 3. Yeah. That's kind of a godsend being able to play that on the Wii U controller, because then I could just pick it up and run through a quick mission and put it back down again.
All right, then. Mark, what have you been playing?
I've been playing what got off Steam Solids, play of Metro Last Light. I don't know if you guys, just any of you play Metro 2013, 2033, whatever the hell it's called?
I did briefly.
Nope. Okay.
I watched people play it.
Okay. So briefly. Of course it's confined because, you know, you're playing in a subway, right? So it's all very linear and confined and claustrophobic. And the first game was pretty good for that. The second game, I haven't played enough to know if I like it or not, but it seems like it does this one thing constantly over and over again. Like, you go through an area, and then, like, your guy gets either knocked out or knocked down or something happens to him, and an NPC has to come along and show you to the next area of the game. And that's cool if it happens, like, once or twice, but, like, it seems like it happens every single level in this game, where the setup is just the NPC walking you to the next area of the game. So there's no, like, none of this seems connected in any shape, way, or form. It seems like just a bunch of, like, very linear single-player levels just stacked end-to-end-to-end. So
sounds fun.
It's not a fun game. It's a very depressing, oppressive video game. And I like the mechanics. Like, it's a fun video game. As an experience, it is very depressing and claustrophobic, which is the point. So if you're not totally into that, then it's not your kind of game. But the first game did what that much better than the second game, because the second game feels like just very by the numbers sort of Metro deal.
It's weird because I've heard people toss around Game of the Year in relation to that game.
To Last Light or to the first game?
To Last Light.
No, because it's I could make an argument for the first game. The second game does not live up to that. Unless something fucking amazing happens, because I'm only like maybe like 5 hours into it, and like I think maybe like a 20-hour video game. But like compared to like Bioshock Infinite or The Last of Us, or even something like Metal Gear Solid Rising, like, no. No, I like it and everything. It's not a bad video game, but it's not in that echelon. Like, it wouldn't be video game of the year last year. Of course, who knows? Maybe something else will happen.
I'm really surprised that Last of Us has not deteriorated in my memory at all.
Yeah.
Like, after Bioshock, by this point, after that game, I still really love the game, but I was like, you know, there's a bunch of flaws I can recognize.
Yeah, and like
with Last of Us, I'm still like, wow, that game was really good.
And
like
in this point,
in your head, like you're kind of wondering, was Bioshock just bullshit and just fooled me the entire time? I need to play it again to find out. And just like The Last of Us, just like, that was fucking amazing. Every last bit of that was great. How is more people not talking about this game?
Because I'd have to turn on my PS3 to play it.
Yeah,
you should. Like, if you're gonna turn your PS3 on for any game this year, I would recommend Last of Us.
I'm probably not gonna turn my PS3 on it for any game this year.
Or any console. If you're gonna play a console game this year, it needs to be The Last of Us. Unless it turns out that horrible Heavy Rain game is great, which probably isn't.
Beyond Two Souls.
Yes, which made such an impression on me I could not even remember the freaking name of it. Also been playing...
What, the Sony exclusive with Ellen Page? How could you not immediately know what that is?
Oh, it's weird, because it sounds a lot like The Last of Us. They didn't pay... They eventually paid Ellen Page money, right? To get her likeness?
For Beyond Two Souls.
But did they... Because there's something about The Last of Us, which it was obvious that it was her, and they had to pay her, right?
No.
She was kind of pissy on a Reddit AMA because they did not... Like, they just used her likeness without asking her.
Okay. I thought something happened. They actually wound up paying her something or doing something.
My guess is what happened is they used that likeness, like it was clearly Ellen Page, but nobody said anything.
Yeah.
And then when they actually started paying her for Beyond Two Souls, they were like, oh shit, we probably have to change the other game now because we can't have her, like, mad at us.
So I've been playing that. I've been playing a Super Puzzle Platformer Deluxe. Got it off the Steam sale. Really, really cute little video game. It's imagine columns, but, like, the blocks just drop down like one at a time, and they're random, and they drop down all over the screen. And you got your little dude at the bottom of the screen, which you can control, and you're shooting the gems as when they land. And like if you shoot like a block of five, and you blow up all five of them, whatever. So it's kind of like Columns with a platformer game built inside of it. And it's one of those ideas that's so amazingly simple and makes so much sense that you wonder how in the hell is this the first time anyone's tried this. So super good game. You already check it out. Costs a couple bucks. Super.
Yeah, I bought it. I just need to actually play it at some point.
It's a very puzzle fighter type feel to it. In fact, the sound effects are puzzle fighter's sound effects for all intents and purposes.
Great.
Yeah. That's it.
All right. So I bought Shin Megami Tensei 4, but I haven't opened it yet because I've had Donkey Kong Country Returns in my 3DS for a couple of months now, and I figured I actually need to actually finish it and play it. And that game is really fucking hard. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still learning how to grapple with the controls even at the last world. Like, there's this boss that's a chicken that's in a robot. Okay. And I was having the hardest fucking time fighting him until I realized that you can stop your rolls by turning the other direction. Because you have to roll under his legs, and if you roll too far, you hit his other leg. And it's not uncommon for me to lose 20 to 30 lives on a level. Just through game overs over and over. But yeah, that game's super fucking difficult, or I'm a retarded baby. One of those two.
Well, I have a hard time believing a Nintendo game is difficult, so you're probably a retarded baby.
Why not both?
It could easily be both.
Yeah. Gear to dream.
Yeah. Did you beat that game, Mike?
Hell no. Do I beat any game?
That's true. You very rarely beat games.
Like everybody.
Unless I tell you that you have to play through the ending, then you'll probably beat it.
Yeah, I'm very easily manipulated that way.
Yep.
Well, tell them to play The Last of Us. Convince them to play that.
Hey, Mike, play The Last of Us.
Yeah, all right.
I don't think it's going to happen because your girlfriend will not let you.
Hey, you make it sound like I'm whipped.
Okay, so out of curiosity, are you bringing any non-Nintendo systems to your new apartment?
Computer.
Uh-huh. I rest my case.
Why would I bring systems?
Totally. Let's say you brought your PlayStation 3. What would happen to it? Would it be immediately thrown out, or you think she'd leave it sitting for a while and then
she actually would get angry at me. for context, in case people didn't figure it out, my girlfriend really likes Nintendo stuff and hates everything else.
We've made fun of her for a couple of years about this, but she will not play anything that's not Nintendo.
Well, she doesn't acknowledge its existence.
Okay, try this. You take your PlayStation 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get some white Krylon paint and you spray paint that shit and say this is the new Nintendo system. It's hot. She needs to play these games. And I don't know how you can convince her The Last of Us is a Nintendo game because that's kind of some dark shit. But there are some blatant ripoffs. Get the Sackboy game, which I can't remember the name of. Little Big Planet. That's basically Mario. That's
nobody
basically Mario.
No, it's that's not. Fuck Mario. You. Holy shit! That is the worst thing you've ever said.
I've said some horrible things, so I kind of doubt that. But that's basically.
I'd like to point out at this point that Mark does not play Mario games.
I do not play Mario. Sunshine was the first 3D Mario I played, and I was forced to play that game.
So he does not know what he's talking about, and also thinks Mortal Kombat 2 is a good game, and thus is terrible.
I have no Rumble Roses achievements on my 360.
Oh.
Someone here does.
Shit. Now, Imran, you
do
say
I?
Something.
Mark's old.
Oh, Mark, now you
Damn
say
it.
Something.
Well, I'm not going to say Imran's brown because that's insensitive. I wouldn't say that, and there's nothing wrong with brown.
It's not insensitive. It's actually a statement of fact.
Yeah.
But the fact that you think it's insensitive is kind of insulting.
Well, apparently, old is insulting.
I mean, it's also a statement of fact.
Yeah, brown.
Being brown is like being old.
I love that neither of you could call the other a southerner.
That is true.
I'm a reverse carpet banger. Hey, banger, bagger. Sorry.
All right. Let's end this, but before we do, I really want to find out what you guys think the final character in Ultra Street Fighter 4 is.
Okay.
Alex?
They said it's not a Street Fighter character and never been in a fighting game before.
Oh, Mega Man?
No, he's been in a fighting game. He had his own fighting game.
But Capcom.
Maybe they forgot. Yeah. It is Capcom.
Wait.
Did it's Mega Man.
Never been in a fighting game before and never been a Street Fighter before because I've heard conflicting things.
Yeah, it's Both. They first said never been in a Street Fighter, then said never in a fighting
game.
You know
who it's guy from Dead Rising? Oh no. If it's Oh No.
I could see it.
That'd be pretty great.
I'm having a hard time thinking of a Capcom character that hasn't been in any fighting game.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, because, I mean, the obvious thing was Hagar, because they have his model and everything. It'd be the last, like, final fight guy not in the game. So...
What if it's a new final fight character, one of those ones that people don't care about because it's not Guy or Cody or Hagar?
Yeah, wasn't it like one of the bosses from Final Fight?
Yeah.
It's that fat cop from that Paris level.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and he's like Rufus's dad, and he's just coming like to like beat up Rufus, like being such a fucking ass. Okay, so that's mine. It's Eddie. It's Eddie from Final Fight.
It's a Bobo, despite the handicap of not being in a Capcom game.
And also not being...
Man, Battletoads versus Double Dragon is so good. I love that game. All right, we're done.
Okay.
All right. Out.
Bye.